Well, welcome again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you, brothers and sisters, and thank you for minding the Lord and getting in that book, getting in God's Word and studying to show thyself approved unto God. Thank you for coming and joining with us today. We're going back into our study of the letter J. I believe it's the third or the fourth study in the letter J, Judgment and Judging. And we left off last time in our study. It's taken us several studies to get through this portion that we're on called Divine Judgment, talking about the Lord's judgment, talking about divine judgment, only judgment that God could possibly have. It's not human judgment. It's God's judgment. It's divine judgment. A supernatural judgment, a judgment that only God could execute. And the last thing that we talked about was the avoidance of it, if you remember. And the avoidance of it, by how? Well, by turning to God, we said. By turning to the Lord. Turning things over to Him. Turning to Him and turning things over to Him. And confessing our sins and getting things right between us and the Lord and our relationship with Him, and walking before Him and not hiding anything from Him. Not hiding. Any Christian, and I'm talking about you and myself, ought to be able to sit at any time and say, Lord, as far as I know, I'm not hiding anything from You. And that's how you know that you are turned toward the Lord. To avoid divine judgment, we need to turn to God. To God. Now, that can be in a corporate sense also, having to do with Israel, or having to do with the United States or any country for that matter. Turning to God. If you want things fixed, the scriptures are very plain about things. If you want God's attention, you want God to turn His attention to you and to help. Anytime in the scripture you see that in the Old Testament or even in the New Testament mentioned by Paul, is that you turn to the Lord. You turn to the Lord. If you're not turning toward the Lord, then the Lord doesn't think that you... I mean, how many people do you talk to with their back turned to you? And they won't turn around. How many people you continue talking to, unless, of course, you're screaming and fighting, but how many people do you talk to that turn the back to you and turn the heel up to you and won't turn around and talk to you? Well, you know, turn to God. Turn to God. And then the second thing that we said was turning from sin. Not only turning to God, but turning from sin. You can't hang on to both of them. The Lord says that you got to give one of them up. You got to give one of them up. And why not? And why not? If you're going to turn to God, you want to be sincere about it. And if you're going to turn to Him, you're going to have to sacrifice some things. And that's things having to do with the flesh and the world and the devil. And that's giving that sin up. Turning from sin. Now, the Bible says if we say that we have not sinned, we lie and we do not the truth. So we are going to sin. Because we still have this body, and we're still in the body, and the body is going to sin as much as it possibly can. But turning from sin is fighting the flesh, is fighting the world as far as removing yourself from it, being not conformed to it, not conforming to it. Not making your life like it, your affections like it, your language like it, your belief system like it, coming out from among them, the scripture says. In the New Testament also, turning from sin we talked about. Now we're talking about how to avoid divine judgment, humbling oneself, humility. Before honor is humility. Plain and simple. Everybody knows what humbling oneself is, and even ones that take it and use it in the wrong manner and talking about humbling themselves. Well, humbling yourself is a weakness. It's this and that and the other. Well, that's not what the Lord says. The Lord never says humbling yourself is a weakness. He says it's a strength. It's a strength. And That's what the Lord says, humbling oneself. And it's going to take sacrifice for you to do it. You're going to have to stick your neck out. You're going to have to stick your neck out before the Lord and humble yourself and tell the truth and sincerity. Problem with humility is that it requires sincerity and it requires truth if it's indeed humility. If it's indeed humility. Okay, and that wasn't all. We talked about praying. Praying helps to avoid divine judgment. Remember Hezekiah? We went over what happened with him and about Sennacherib and all that bunch that come up there and said they was going to destroy and scared the pants off of Israel and they was going to overtake the city and do this, that, and the other. Well, Hezekiah laid all that mess, that letter and that they wrote and laid it out before the Lord and prayed, and the Lord took care of business. Overnight was 185,000 men killed out there in that camp outside of Israel when they was talking all that trash. They got up the next morning and 185,000 of their soldiers was dead. And I suppose that made them change their thinking. And it did. So we're going to go into one other part of this divine judgment, talking about divine judgment and the manner of it. The manner of it. You say, well, what do you mean by the manner of it? Well, how something's done or how it happens, the fashion of it, the way it happens. Divine judgment. How does it happen? How does the scriptures tell us that divine judgment, what the manner of divine judgment is? Well, the scripture tells us all over and has prophesied of the manner of divine judgment is very explanatory. Jesus went into detail about hell. He went into detail about some of the people that are in hell. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the worm shall not die. What does the Bible say? How something's done, or talking about divine judgment, how it's done or how it happens. Well, the first thing is it's according to which judgment one appears before. There are many judgments in the scripture, some of them that don't apply to you, some of them that do apply to you. You're not going to stand before the Lord and divine judgment in every instance in the scripture where it talks about judgment. It depends on where you fall according to how your standing is before the Lord. The church is not going to stand before the judgment seat of the sheep and goat judgment. The sheep and goat judgment and the nations that stand before that judgment are not going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, you have to rightly divide the Word of God. You have to get it in its right context. And who's it talking to? And what's going on? What's going on? So it's according to which judgment one appears before the Lord. However and whenever you appear before the Lord in the capacity of judgment that you're going to appear before the Lord, that's where you're going to be judged. That's where you're going to experience divine judgment. And there are a total of, I think, seven judgments. I have a study on that working on, but I've not read all of some of my teacher's material on it, and I don't know everything there is to know about it, but I know this, what we're fixing to talk about. Divine judgments according to which judgment one appears before the Lord. Let's just read some scripture and it'll explain itself. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10 says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother?" Now notice it's talking about brother. And notice what scripture it's coming out of. Romans. So that's the Pauline epistle. That's the Pauline doctrine. That's us. That's what we live by. And the dispensation that we live in is under faith, grace through faith. "But why dost thou judge thy brother?" Talking to the church. talking to the body of Christ, us. And why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, there it is. If you're born again and you're in the family of God and you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are locked in. You are part of the body of Christ. You cannot become not. You cannot get out of the body of Christ. You are part of God's family permanently. Okay, but there's a judgment you have to stand before. Is it a judgment to go to hell? Is it a judgment to whether you go to hell or whether you go to heaven? Is that the judgment? Absolutely not. You've passed from life unto death unto life, the Bible says. There's no condemnation going to come against you. The Bible says that the Lord's not going to bring any condemnation against you. So this is not a condemning judgment. This is not a heaven and hell judgment. This is called the judgment seat of Christ. And what is it for? Well, it's for all of the things that you did since you were born again. Since you were born again, all of the things that you did in your body for or not for the Lord. Everything changed when you got saved. God the Holy Ghost began to came into you and is indwelling you and still is, and he's conforming you into the image of Christ, and your will is a free agent, and the Lord leaves it that way. It's your choice of what you do for the Lord or do not do for the Lord. But it has nothing to do with whether you go to heaven or not. You're going to heaven because of what Jesus done. But everything that you do in that body from the time that you were born again all the way up until the time of the rapture, and we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, is going to be evaluated, and you're going to either receive gifts, or you're either going to receive rewards for it, or you're going to lose rewards for it that you could have had. Crowns are going to be given out there. All sorts of things are coming, but every man according to what he has done in the body. So this is not a judgment of condemnation. It's not a judgment of pointing a finger and say, you dirty, rotten sinner, because you're not a dirty, rotten sinner under Christ's righteousness. Christ's righteousness is on you now, and God sees Christ's righteousness, and he doesn't see your sin. And when you stand before the Lord, you're not going to stand before him as a sinner if you're in the body of Christ and you stand before him at this judgment. Now, what are we talking about? Divine judgment. Is this divine? Yes, it is. It's the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. God himself in the flesh, sitting on the throne, judging his bride, judging us in the body and what we did, and passing out rewards for it, and putting it in the fire and seeing if it was for the right reasons, and it was for the right intentions, and it was with the right heart, and it was had suffering going along with it, that suffer for Christ. The Lord said, if you suffer with him, you shall also reign with him. It says we're going to be kings and priests, and we're going to judge angels. So according to how you stand in this judgment, is the only thing that's going to be judged is everything that you did in your body as a Christian, as a member of the body of Christ, not as a sinner. You see? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's why we're in the body here on earth, still being tempted by the enemy and the situation that we're in right now. That's not the situation that it's going to be when we get before the judgment seat of Christ. Completely different thing. So see, the manner of divine judgment, how something is done and how it happens, the fashion of it, the way it's going to happen. Well, this is not the same scenario for some of the other judgments. And this is the only judgment right here as far as standing before the Lord in any kind of judgmental way, that we're going to stand before the Lord. We're His bride, and we're the body of Christ, and we're going to stand before Him not in condemning judgment, but rewards judgment, and how you did in your body since you were saved, whether you didn't give a flip, and you went out there and played around in the world and just misbehaved your entire walk with the Lord until you got to be with Him, or whether you learned what the Lord wanted you to learn, and you grew, and you suffered along with Him, and you get to heaven, and the Lord's going to pass out rewards, or either your rewards are going to be burned up in the fire, one or the other. And how you build on God's, the kingdom of God, how you built the kingdom of God, whether you even cared or not. I mean, you're still saved, and you're going to heaven, and you're going to stand before that judgment seat, and you might think to yourself, well, I don't, just as long as I'm going to heaven, I don't care if I get rewards. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. When you get there, you will. You're going to stand before the Lord, and you don't want to stand up there naked and not have anything to show for your Christian walk before the Lord. That's not the way a Christian really feels in his heart if God the Holy Ghost is dwelling in him. Now, I understand some situations are harder than others, and some temptations are harder than others, but the Bible says that the Lord delivers us from all of them, if we're willing, if we're willing. So divine judgment, the manner of it, is going to be this first one, the judgment seat of Christ, where the bride of Christ only is going to stand before, and it's for rewards. It's not a condemning judgment. Now what else? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So you see, a Christian can do bad things while he's in the body serving the Lord, you see. But you're not going to go to hell because of those bad things, and you're not going to be condemned because of those bad things. What's going to happen is that the rewards that you could have had, they're going to put those bad things in the fire, and they're going to burn up. And you're not going to get any rewards for them. And I'm afraid there's a lot that's going to burn that belongs to me. But as far as a condemning manner of sinful things and sin against God and rejection of Jesus Christ, it doesn't exist in this judgment. You see? You have to put this thing, you have to rightly divide the word of truth in these judgments, and you have to put these things in context. All right, so there's that judgment. What else? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, listen to this. "And I, brethren," see who he's talking to? Where is it talking out of? 1 Corinthians, that's Paul. That's the Pauline epistle talking to the church. "And I, brethren," talking to us, "could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." Now, when he's talking about carnal, he's talking about fleshly things. Fleshly things. "Even as unto babes in Christ." You see, you're still in Christ, but you haven't grown any. You're still a baby. You haven't grown. The idea in Christ when you're born again is to grow. Listen to what Paul says. "I have fed you with milk," milk of the word, "and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it." He said, "I couldn't tell you real heavy spiritual stuff, like meaty spiritual stuff, because you can't take it, because you're still a baby, you're not growing. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal." You're still walking in the flesh and fooling around with these fleshly things. "For whereas there is among you envying," that's fleshly, "and strife," that's fleshly, that's not spiritual, "and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" You're not walking as a Christian, you're walking as you did before you got saved. "For while one say, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, But God gave the increase. He's the one that saved you. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, the ones that work the field. That's what we do. The Lord's gone back to heaven. He's left us to do the work of the church and do the work of the body of Christ. What's that? Getting people saved. Doing the work of Christ. What'd he do while he's here? He preached, he taught, he saved people, he healed people, he helped people out. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and he did. He laid out the gospel of the grace of God, what Jesus taught him, the new gospel that came out of the four gospels when the book of Acts was changing over and salvation was changing over from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and we're under grace and faith, the Pauline gospel. He called it my gospel, but scripturally it's called the gospel of the grace of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we're living under right now and has been since Jesus ascended back. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's where this foundation of this salvation that we live in this dispensation, the gospel of the grace of God, it starts with Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. No other foundation's going to work. You're not going to get in the body of Christ any other way. Now, if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Now, what's going to be revealed by fire? What you built on the foundation of Jesus Christ since you've been saved. Was it gold? Was it silver? Was it worth precious stones? Was it worth wood? Was it hay? Was it stubble? Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, gets through the fire, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, notice the man doesn't get burned, his work gets burned. If it wasn't of the sort it should have been while he was serving Jesus Christ in the body. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. You suffer loss, not suffer in hell. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You see the difference there? You got to read that book. You got to read what it says. You got to know what manner of judgment we're talking about. Now, that is divine judgment. That's Jesus Christ judging our works. But that's not him judging us in condemnation. He's judging us according to our works while we were in the body. Do you see that? Whole different judgment. That's the judgment we're going to stand before. And it's going to be frightening enough to stand before the Lord and shameful enough to stand before the Lord that we didn't do what we knew we should have done while we could have done it. I mean, time is going to run out. And if you're going to get anything done for the Lord, you better light a match to it now. And I'm not talking about just running amok and doing all kind of crazy nonsense. I'm talking about asking the Lord, what can I do for you, Lord? I don't want to just show up at the throne and not have anything to offer you. I want to be able to lift up part of my life and hand it to you and say, this was entirely devoted to you, Lord. Don't you? Of course you do. Matthew chapter 25, listen to this. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, and mainly the verse 33, but through 46, let me read that to you. Now, we're talking about divine judgment and how some of this divine judgment happens, the fashion of it, and the way it happens. Well, we've seen the judgment seat of Christ and why it happens and how it happens and the manner it is going to happen. What about Matthew here? When the Son of Man shall come in His glory. Now, is that the rapture? No, it's not. That's the second advent. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Well, when He comes at the rapture to get us, He don't sit on no throne of His glory. The throne of His glory is in Jerusalem, David's throne. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. There's a key right there. All nations are going to be gathered before Him. Not the body of Christ. Not the bride. Not the saved people. This is gathered before Him while He's sitting on the throne of His glory. All nations. This is what is called the judgment of the nations, or the sheep and goat judgment. And what this judgment is about is all the nations during the tribulation period and how they treated the Jews, how they treated Israel. When the Lord comes back and He comes and makes war and He destroys the enemy and sets on His throne, He's going to drag all the nations that were during the tribulation period and bring them before His throne, and He's going to judge them nations corporately. Of course, every man individually is going to be judged, but it's going to be the nations that are going to be judged, okay, and how they treated them Jews during the tribulation period. You see, has absolutely nothing to do with rewards. It has to do with who treated my brethren good and who treated them bad during the tribulation period. And this is a condemning judgment. And the manner of it is condemnation, because the people that don't get through it are going to go to hell. Now listen. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. That's why it's called the sheep and goat judgment. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, and the goats on His left, on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered. Now, wait a minute. Jesus wasn't there. He was up in heaven with us at that time during the tribulation period. He was a hungered. The Israel was hungry. And listen what he says. For I was a hungered, Jesus is including himself with his brethren, Israel, during the tribulation. For I was a hungered and you gave me meat, you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous, the ones that did something for him, that did work to help Israel out during the tribulation period. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee? Jesus was in heaven. They're saying, we never saw you or thirsty or gave thee drink. When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as he hath done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, the Jews, Israel, you've done it unto me. You see? Completely different judgment. The manner of this judgment and the sense of this judgment and the fashion of this judgment and the way of this judgment, completely different than the one we talked about with the bride of Christ. You see? And as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Nobody during that first judgment went into no everlasting fire. We are everlasting life. We have everlasting life right now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, completely different scenario. These people here lived during the tribulation, and they were attached to a nation that was mean and ugly and destructive to Israel and trying to wipe them out, like the UN is right now. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. You see that judgment? That's hell fire judgment there, prepared for the devil and his angels. Is he talking to saved people? Absolutely not. Saved people aren't before this judgment. You see? Prepared for the devil and his angels, for I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and a thirst, and a stranger, naked, and sick, and in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer saying, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, the ones that did help Israel out, into life eternal. You see, that's a completely different manner of judgment right there. We're talking about divine judgment and the manner of it. Two completely different manners, two completely different ways of the way something's going to be done in that first judgment and this second judgment right here. These people in the second judgment are going to everlasting life or everlasting punishment. Going to be with the Lord, like he said, enter into the kingdom of my Father, or they're going into everlasting fire, everlasting punishment. And the righteous into life eternal. You see, we have life eternal before we even get to our judgment. We're guaranteed it right this second. You see, you're in the body of Christ. You're saved for eternity. We don't go before a judgment of condemnation. We don't go before a judgment of doing sinful things and doing anything against Israel. Now, I wouldn't recommend you do anything against Israel or talk about them or that you pray for them, because that Abrahamic covenant is still, the Lord said, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. That's still in effect. But these judgments are different manner. All right, let's move on. Now, we're talking about the manner of it, how something is done concerning divine judgment, and how it happens, and the fashion of it, the way it's going to happen. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, we just got through reading. Now, listen to this one. Revelation chapter 20, and verse 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne. Now, wait a minute. That's changed things up again. This is not the judgment seat of Christ. Not the first judgment, because this is a great white throne. The first one was the judgment seat of Christ. The second one was the Lord sitting upon a throne of his glory. This is the great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Wait a minute. That first judgment was not dead. That was everlasting living people. That was us. That was the bride of Christ for rewards. The second judgment was for the nations. This is the dead that are standing before God. Small and great stand before God. And the books were opened. There were no books opened at that second judgment. at least it didn't mention them. There was no books opened like it says here during that second judgment of the nations. No books open during the first judgment. There might be some books that recorded our works while we're in the body. I don't know. It doesn't say. It doesn't say books were open there. But not like these books. These books here are different. These books have written down all the sinful things and all the ungodly things and the things against God are written down. It's called works. And there's another book here that's called the Book of Life, where everybody that has eternal life's name is written. Listen to this judgment. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, plural. And another book, singular, was opened, which is the Book of Life. The singular book is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So everybody that's in hell comes before this judgment, and everybody that's that death, that the Bible says, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, listen to this, every man according to their works. This is a judgment of works. Everything that you did since you've been a human being, since you've been a sinner, and since you was in, since you was lived your life on earth and then you died, everything's been recorded. And since you did not receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you did not, and everybody's going to stand before all the dead that died without Jesus Christ and died without being righteous in the Old Testament, and all that sort of business, are going to stand before this judgment. These are all the people that are condemned. This is an utterly condemning judgment. This is not a judgment that you want to be standing before. And if you're born again, you don't have to worry about that at all, ever. But this is not a judgment anybody wants to stand before. But this is what everybody calls the general judgment. The general judgment. Everybody believes in a general judgment, a general resurrection, that everybody's going to come up and everybody's going to stand before God and he's going to weigh your good and weigh your bad and this and that and the other. Well, that's not true. This is what they're referring to right here. But the thing about it is there's no good that's going to be weighed on this one. They're already condemned. They died without Christ. They died without being saved. They died in an unrighteous manner, in a dead from God manner, and they are condemned already. They're already condemned. This judgment here is that they come before God, and they open the books, and the Lord sentences them. They all go to the lake of fire, but this is the degree of punishment they're going to get. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So you see, hell is not a eternal stationary place. It itself, hell, is going to be cast into the lake of fire also. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. So they're going to check the books judgment's going to be, sentence is going to be passed on. They're going to check the Book of Life to see if their name's in it. If it's not in there, they're going to look at all their works that were written in the books, and sentence is going to be passed as far as determining the degree of their sentence, and off in the lake of fire they go. It's a completely different manner of judgment. You see that? God is completely and utterly judge at this seat. Not at the first one, the judgment seat of Christ. Why, he's the groom of the bride. He's the Savior, the judgment seat of Christ. To see how we, the bride of Christ, served him while in the body, after he saved us. The second one is the nations that treated Israel, either good or bad. I'm going to stand before the King while he sits upon the throne of his glory. You see the differences in this thing? You can't just say everybody's going to stand the same. That's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. Are you getting this? Interesting, isn't it? So all different sorts of judgment going on, divine judgment and the manners of it. It's according to which judgment one appears before the Lord. And moving along, let's read one more. Revelation chapter 20. And I just read that, so we can't move along. All right? So we see three different judgments there. I'm not going to go any farther than that. We're going to stop right there and make us another recording on this, because I don't want to speed through this. I want y'all to get this. Did you know these things? Now, I'm don't just take my word for it. I'm going to give you these scriptures, and you get in it, and you see the differences with your own eyes. And let God the Holy Ghost show you the difference. Everything I've said is true according to the Word of God. And I didn't do anything but read God's Word for you. And you've seen the differences, and I divvied out the differences in the judgment. It's a kind of encouraging to me, because I'm not going to stand before any of these judgments that are meant for condemnation. I'm going to stand before judgment to see what I've done in the body, and that's going to be probably a shameful part of standing before the Lord, not a matter of condemnation or going to hell or eternal fire or anything like that, but wishing I had done better for the Lord, you see? That's completely and utterly different. There's a whole big difference in falling down in a plane and falling out of a plane. You see? But that white throne judgment is a whole different matter. Why would God bring somebody that he saved, one of his sons, and stand him before a judgment when his name is written in the Book of Life? He's not. He's not. This is for the dead. You're not dead. You're a child of light, the Bible says. You've been born again. We have life, and we have it more abundantly. You see the difference? Good stuff. Good stuff. Let me give you these scriptures. You ready? Okay. Not very many scriptures, but we had excellent scripture. Romans chapter 14, verse 10 was the first one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Now you go back and read these and just nail it down. Let God the Holy Ghost nail these judgments down for you. We got several others we're going to go over too. And there's another study, I think I do cover it in this, is the different judgments themselves and how many there are in the scriptures. I think we detail them on in further into our study in this study. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 through 15. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46, particularly verse 33. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. Now, what have we talked about today? We've talked about judgment and judging. That's our study. We've talked about We're on the study of divine judgment. Divine judgment. Well, what about it? Well, what's the manner of it? How something is done or how it happens, the fashion of the judgment, the way the judgment's going to happen. Well, the first fact is it's according to which judgment one appears before. Do you see that now? I mean, somebody that stands before the judgment seat of Christ is going to be in a completely different scenario than somebody that's before the white throne judgment or the judgment of sheep and goat of the nations. And you're going to stand before a completely different deity, too. Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday and today but forever, but during the judgment seat of Christ, he's our Lord. During the nation's judgment, he's the King. And during the during the white throne judgment, he's the judge. You see? All right. Well, there's the scriptures. And whenever we begin our next study and continue this, we're going to go into another, as far as the manner of it. It's according to which judgment one appears before, but also according to God's righteousness. The manner of it. How something is done and how it happens. The fashion of it. The way it happens. Well, the way it happens is according to God's righteousness. Every one of these judgments. You see? And we'll talk about that. All right? Good study. Good study. Okay, well, the Lord bless you. You stay in that book. Get those, get them scriptures. Get back in your Bible before the devil tries to snatch that from you. And read over those scriptures again and detail those things that we talked about and nail them judgments down so the devil can't tell you you're going to stand before God in judgment because in condemnation because you're not. You see? It matters. Praise the Lord for his beautiful word. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. God bless you for studying God's word. Bye-bye.